All right, if you'll turn to Philippians, we're going to kind of dig in there because I want to go in a little bit more detail because as I talked about being single-minded, being submissive-minded, being spiritual-minded and secure-minded, how do you do that? How do you make your resolve? How are you going to get your plan? How are you going to get where you want to be, preacher? You tell him. You tell that elder. Say, I want him back. Yeah. What that elder doing to you, baby? I know what he wants on your face. It's okay to be mistaken for a lolly. After I got out of pro football, in sports, you always have a game plan. And so before any team we play, we get a scouting report on every player and every injury. And so when you go up against your opponent, you know the linemen, I was on offense, so you know the defensive linemen, the linebackers, the defensive backs, the safeties. You know what the injuries are, you know what the strengths are, you know what the weaknesses are. And so the game plan has been set up to attack their weaknesses. And the people's going to win the game are the ones who attack the weaknesses the best. And so when my son was at Missouri, he scored a first touchdown and he jogged over to the bench and the coaches said, you're supposed to celebrate, son. He said, my dad taught me that you're supposed to act like you've been there. Act like you expected to get there. No, we like you to celebrate. He said, coach, isn't that why we got cheerleaders? Well, they spent 2 years trying to break him and trying to remake him to jump up and all around and put on all kind of cheerleading performances. We don't do that in our family. And so the coach, Coach Pinkel, benched him and kicked him back to second team because they kept trying to break him. And then he's like, James, you need to spend more time with your linemen. Let me translate that for you. You need to go out drinking with your linemen. That's the way they push them buttons. So instead of going out drinking with him, he took them out to dinner. Well, they started ordering beer, so he quit taking them out to dinner. So he came his sophomore year, and he said, Daddy, I'm thinking about quitting football. I said, son, you don't ever have to play another down of football. You've made your mom and I proud. I said, I know what your coaches are doing. They're trying to break you, son. Just like if you join the military. They always talk about breaking you down and remaking you. Well, they didn't make me. God did. And so as he was going through those trials, I don't believe that they allowed any quarterback to be hit by first-team defense as much as they hit my son. Because Oklahoma wanted him for tight end. Texas wanted him for tight end. Nobody thought he was 6'3", 240. And so they thought if they hit him enough, it would discourage him. And then he would go ahead and play tight end and give up this thing about playing quarterback. And so there are things that coaches do. I'm aware of it and tried to prepare my son as best I could to expect that. I said, now, when these coaches, they're going to be using foul language. I said, when a coach is talking to you, I said, I want you to do two things. I said, I want you to look him in the eye without blinking. And so when he was younger, we would go look in the mirror, and I'd get him to stare at himself without blinking. I said, that's exactly where you look at that coach. I said, it sends two messages. Number one, you're listening. And number two, he don't put no chill in you. They didn't mean I said, I know it works, because it worked on me. We must have a plan of attack as we go out to be resolved. Because in this fellowship, this is where we're supposed to grow. Because Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. In this fellowship, we grow closer to the Lord. 1 John 1, if we walk in the light, he sees his light. We have fellowship, koinonia with one another. Because there are individuals here stronger than me. There are individuals here that have more knowledge than me about Christ. There are individuals than me in Christ. And so in this fellowship, there's always someone I can gain and gain something from, so I go back stronger. Look at Philippians 1 and verse 5. Paul starts telling Christians here how to become single-minded. And so the game plan It's koinonia, fellowship. In verse 5. What does verse 5 say? Because?
For your fellowship in the gospel.
Yes. He says, I make prayers on your behalf. Every time I think about you, for your koinonia, your fellowship in the gospel. That Paul was in prison, they were out of prison, but they were still in fellowship because both of them, fellowship is in the gospel. Guess what fellowship produces? Single-mindedness. How long have you known her? How long have you known her?
57 years.
Whew. Wow, you to be commended.
You, girl in the world.
Do you know how much koinonia is there? You know what made you love her? You saw her more than you saw anybody else. Isn't that amazing? We are people of that manner. Anything we fellowship, we will grow to love. Oh yeah, I try not to like my 8 sisters. You ever live with 9 women in 1 bathroom? You talk about torture. I don't know why women think a bathroom belongs to them. We got 11 kids in the house, 3 boys and 9 women with my mother, and we're like, we gotta go, we gotta go. And they're like, die, we hope you die. Sisters don't care. Fortunately, there was a gas station about 2 miles down the road. And back then, they didn't lock the doors. Everybody's like, man, how you think to get so fast? Going to the bathroom. What? Long story, 2 miles. I kid you not, they would not open that door. How do you get 8 girls out of a bathroom? They're doing hair, they're putting on makeup, they're trying on different stuff. There's no hope. And I put a sign over their door, thou shalt not love. I wasn't going to love them girls. Never, ever. I wouldn't even hug them. I only have 1 sister that could make me hug her because she was crazy. She'd just run and jump in the air and I had to catch her. And that's the only way she could get me to hug her. For about 23 years. I went off to college. My mother was on the welfare, so I had no money to go home and they had no money to come see me. I didn't know I would not see my family again for 4 years when I went off to college. Now don't you tell them because I ain't told them yet, but I cried because I missed fighting with those girls. Y'all watch TV? Well, we had a television, but we fought over the 3 channels we had. Y'all got 99 channels. We just had 3, and we still didn't get to watch what we want. My mama liked Perry Mason, Highway Patrol, and Gunsmoke. Boy, turn that channel, get over there to Gunsmoke. I want to watch Miss Kitty. I thought, when I get out of this house, I ain't never coming back. I went off to college, I cried and I cried and I cried. And I thought, man, there's got to be something wrong with me. I can't be missing those 8 girls. I can't be missing my mama's whipping me with an extension cord. There's no way, something's wrong with my mind. But I was broke as a joke, so I couldn't go see a shrink. Well, I found out. Once I got away from home, it was because of love. Anything you fellowship, you're going to grow to love, whether you want to or not. Fellowship will produce a single-mindedness 57 years. It's impossible to be with somebody that long. And I love them. Paul said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, that being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. Paul is telling these saints, in all of the problems that they are having, you keep fellowshipping. You start having these elders in your home, you start having these ministers in your home, I guarantee you, you're going to start having other members. Next thing you know, you're going to be inviting your neighbor. Next thing you know, you're going to be teaching people. We're supposed to be a people of fellowship. Guess what the Lord said? Lo, I'm with you how long? Yeah, and there's no S on that. Always. All the way, he's with us. And after 42 years, I did never think it was possible for me to love anybody more than I love my mama. Because I'm a mama's boy. I was the first boy after 4 girls. I buried my mama lost. She wouldn't let me teach it for 42 years. But I know Jesus loved her more than I did because of what he did at Calvary. Amen, church. I just knew. When mama listened to me, all the other 10 kids, they like, you're mama's favorite. I ain't been home since 1968 to live. They stayed right around the corner. We all made that promise. We grow up and get away from here, they're going to need a search warrant to find me. Getting away from it. They all live right around my mama. I go home. She's like, boy, I'll make your favorite meal. Cornbread, mustard greens. Mm-mm. Corn on the cob. Yeah, some smoked ribs. Yeah. They're like, why you always cook him what he wants? Well, every time he come home, you love him the most. She said, if y'all would move 3,000 miles away, I might be happy to see you. Not only are you going to grow to love those people that you fellowship, there's going to be disagreements. Hello? I mean, you wouldn't believe the amount of people that get jealous of my suntan. I see them all over the place staring at me. I stare right back. Hey, people get upset up at my height. Amen? Yeah. And a lot of people get jealous of my ugly. My wife don't like to walk in anywhere with me. I walk in a restaurant, I know some men are going to look and I go, thank you. Yeah, and I walk over and I said, I caught you, didn't I? They're like, what? I said, I caught you, you're a chocoholic. Come here, you get one. And the wife is going, how long have you known him? He said, I ain't never seen him before. I tell him to scoot over and I sit down and we talk for 2 or 3 hours. I don't know why big and ugly sales. I've been arrested twice since I've been in America. Oh yeah, somebody thought they recognized me in Unsolved Mysteries. My wife said I look like 9 out of 10 suspects on 10 o'clock news. Check out the news tonight. That's why I wear a tie. You never see a dude in a lineup with a tie. She said, when you're on the road, you wear a tie because you look like too many of them people out there called criminals. What did he look like? Well, he was tall, dark, athletic built. I'm guilty. Amen. Fellowship is going to produce a concern. Notice what Paul said in verse 7. Look at verse 7. This blows my mind. He said, because I have you where? Come on, bro. I have you where? Thank you. Where's your mama? Thank you. No, right there, baby. Not back there. In your heart. I tried not to love that woman because she tried to kill me since I was born. Boy, I brought you in. And she revised it. She said, I can make some more look just like you and you won't even be missed. Amen. There are six after me and they think they're better looking. Fellowship is going to produce a hard love. You see, people to fellowship often, they don't have to say, could you pray for me? They already know that's happening. That should already be happening in this family. Why don't we run across any announcements in the New Testament? Do we make announcements in our fellowship? We make a lot of announcements. Why don't we have announcements in here? You see, they fellowship daily. And that's what Acts 2 says. They went from house to house daily. You know why they was going from house to house? They ate up everything at the last house. They knew one another. They knew what was going on in each other's lives. It was like, okay, I'll tell you, but don't tell nobody. Can you believe people say that in our fellowship? Well, I'll tell you, but don't tell nobody else. Don't tell me if you don't want nobody else to know. You don't want God to heal you? You don't want me to pray for you? We're not a people that keep secrets anymore because this is the greatest one. The gospel. It's called the mysterion. The mystery, Paul said in Ephesians 3. It means a hidden sacred secret. Fellowship produces prayer for one another, as we saw there in verse 5, 6. It puts each other in a heart. There's a care. There's a concern. He said, it's right for me to feel this way about you. We know that. It's right for you to feel that way about her. We husbands know how hard it is for our women. I just look at it and I just say, thank you. you. She's like, for what? I said, the list is too long. Just thank you. She's put up with me longer than my mama did. It's only natural. So kick them dogs up so I can go to work. Get that lotion. And now she just falls right to sleep. I gotten so good, it just puts her right to sleep. After I finish lotioning those dogs, she's gone. I have these young guys that I train. I'm always working with young men. That's what I do. I train other young men. We need more young men being trained by godly men. Too many of them have been trained by the world. I told my kids, I said, look, we're back in America, and I want to get y'all in sports. The reason I want to get you in sports is because that's going to be our platform for evangelism. And so James was, he was a big baby. He was 50 pounds at 2 years old. He was 100 pounds at 4 years old. He was a lot like I was. We were eaters. And so a little baseball coach come in. He said, member of the church. He said, I coach a baseball team. Could James play on my baseball team? I said, well, how old are the kids? He said, 9. I said, well, James is only 6. He said, yes, but he's bigger than all my 9-year-olds. Okay. And I said, okay, so we go out there on the field, and I said, now, James, I will let your coach know, and I want you to know, Wednesday and Sundays are non-negotiable. We don't run an option in our house. We run an I formation. I will stand before God. And so sure enough, James made All-Stars. So the All-Star coach comes, Mr. Franklin. He said, James made All-Stars with 9-year-olds. He's just 6. Yes, sir. That don't mean nothing in our house. I said, he got 3 older sisters, and he can't whoop them. He's the worst athlete in our house. Well, he said, you going to let him play? I said, as long as you don't play on Sunday and Wednesday, we ain't got a problem. He said, well, we play on Sunday. I said, hope y'all have a good time. He said, you're not going to let him play? I said, sir, I told you before the season. Wednesday and Sunday is non-negotiable. He said, but he's an all-star. I said, sir, when is your anniversary? He said, July. I said, now, do you tell your wife on July, honey, you got me for 1 hour, and then I'm gone with the guys? He said, uh-uh. She wants to celebrate the whole day. I said, I believe God's the same way about his days, too. He wants us.
Yeah, I don't think it got recalibrated.
Oh, he told me the bell would ring for me to start. A few years ago, I wrote all 8 of my sisters that letter. If you haven't, you need to. I mean that letter. I said, I thank God every day. It's 8 sisters that ever lived. Thank you for all the whoopings, all the knots you put on my head, all the stories you told. I said, because now in adulthood, it took all of that to bring us to this point of being able to say, I love you, and to be unashamed. I said, just want to thank you for being one of the best sisters in the world. My 8 sisters. 6 of them are Jehovah's Witnesses. They're the ones who started me seeking the kingdom. They started attacking our family with some of that doctrine. And I was determined to learn truth because they didn't start drinking. My parents were alcoholics. They didn't start drinking until they became Jehovah's Witnesses. They go to the nightclub 500 deep. And so I was determined to teach them out of that Charles T. Russell doctrine. Not one sister, and I don't see them often, 3 of them are cocaine addicts. Some of them have forgotten what it was even like to be in our family. Some of them have told me, the younger ones, they don't remember us growing up together. That's why I despise drugs. It takes away memory. But I told them, I said, I still love you, even though you cannot remember. I went home to my dad's funeral a couple of years ago, and one of my sisters that kind of out there in all these false religions, she said, you know, Willie, I don't remember you being this nice. And I thought, man, oh man, how quickly even family can forget. They're so used to bickering and fighting and jostling the way the world does. You see, we haven't been fellowshipping. When you start missing fellowships and get-togethers with saints, you forget. I know they're talking about me. Why do we need to talk about you? I saw that book you gave me, that dirty look. I washed my face. That wasn't a dirty look. It was a clean look. I washed my lips too. It's just amazing. Fellowship does produce that. That you start loving people. A lot of times you don't realize how much you love them until something takes place, transpires. They get sick. A tragedy happens in their family. And it hits home. And just like with Big Joe. We were in the mission field together. I was asking God, why not me? I'm older than he is. Why not me, Lord? Why Joe? He was more loving than me. He was more ready than me. Fellowship produces that. Because you're going to pray one for each other. You're going to have each other in one another's heart. You're going to learn to care for one another. That's just what we do in our fellowship. You start becoming single-minded. How long did it take you to propose?
Before I ever married.
I know. I'm saying you knew how long.
About 2 years.
That's pretty good. The first time I had seen my wife twice in 2 years. I baptized her. And she was in Wyoming. I was in Texas going all over the place. And the second time I saw her, I said a prayer. And then the third time I saw her, I proposed. We never dated. I don't believe in test driving anything. Amen. You know us guys, we like to put the pedal to the metal. Yeah. And there's no way, you ain't going to compete with my Jesus. I said, I love the Lord. You love the Lord. You didn't pay him up a date? No, didn't have any reason. I don't date the groceries when I go buy them. Amen? I got a list. You got your list? Thank you. I tell all my sisters, get a list of what you want in a man. Where does the list start? I said, with the elders. Look at them elders and you see what they got. Oh, I want that in my wife or my husband. I went through that checklist. This is where you shop in this fellowship. Amen? You don't shop for those people. You look for those qualities in their life. When they say, been married all them years? I want to know. I bet he does things in the kitchen. I'm telling you. Yeah.
You're going to meddle.
He's going to start. Because I've been encouraging him to get some lotion. And at the end of the day, start rubbing down your feet there. Them dogs. I have to get a lot of lotion because I wash my hands in gasoline, and so I have no palm ducts. My hands are pretty dry, so she makes me lotion mine down before I get to her feet. But I've learned. She's got that real thick stuff for my hands and that real nice smelly stuff for her feet. If you'd have told me I'd have been going around the country kissing a bunch of ugly dudes, I'd tell you smoking something with tobacco. I didn't think I would arrive to where I am. Because I'd never kissed my father. I didn't know Jesus would bring me to this point, but in this fellowship, this is what other brothers have done with me. This is where I got my learning and my training in this fellowship. That I'm not no orator. Y'all know that. I don't want to be an orator. I'm a Christian. What I want you to see is, sooner or later, every one of you men in here need to be up here teaching. Because the best sermon your children, your wife, grandchildren are going to hear is when dad or grandpa or uncle gets up there because they know you and they know if you're living it. When you're living it, as a guy told me, preach what you live. Because if you preach something you ain't living, people are going to see that easily. Amen. Our fellowship produces a single-mindedness. That's what made me say, will you marry me so we can just stop separating and let's go together and evangelize the world. I said, let's shake up the world. She said, okay, that was the way I proposed. I didn't do the ring and the one knee. I'm an old country boy. I just, hey, we getting that. Okay, I don't do surprises. My wife wants something, I go get it. She like, is it our anniversary? No. Why you give me this? Because I want to. Amen. I do that for my mama. I send a bunch of flowers. I say, Happy Mother's Day. She's born today, Mother's Day. I said, America, don't tell me when to celebrate Mother's Day. You let me live. You didn't choke me out. And so I do random stuff. A little girl gave me a card one day, and it said something that really stuck with me. A little high school girl, she said, on the front of it, great men. Open it up and said, are unpredictable. And so I don't want my wife being able to anticipate. I didn't do nothing for my mother on Mother's Day. The other 10 kids did that. I want mine to be special. And so I'd wait to 2 months afterwards, 2 months before. She couldn't predict when I was going to do something. Yeah. And Jesus the same way. Exactly. I want to express a love and a concern for those people I love. And fellowship produces. That's what Paul is saying in Philippians 1. Fellowship produces that. Not only fellowship producing that, and that's how he got the single-mindedness, verse 21. But also furtherance. Furtherance here in Philippians chapter 1. He brings this out as he talks to this church that has become pretty dear to him at Philippi. Even though they say this just 4 chapters, this is one heavy letter. He talked about fellowship. Look at verse 5. For your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel, some of y'all will say progress from this first day until now. He started talking to them about the furtherance. Verse 12, he says, now I want you to know, brethren, the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance, there it is again, of the gospel. So not only fellowship, but individuals who are focused on spreading the gospel. Paul used 3 things to further the gospel in his day. He used his chains, being in prison. He was chained to a prison on each side. You know why? Over in Acts 12. Peter was in prison, and an angel led him out. These Christian people are weird. Word got around the Roman, so they chained a soldier to each arm. What do you think Paul talked about? Think talk about football? Yeah. Basketball? Hey, basketball season. Paul was single-minded. And that's why we see there that he said, Philippians, that he was converting a lot of prisoners, just like the Philippian jailer. I mean, what were they going, man, stop talking to me about your God. Well, is Paul going to stop? What's he going to do, throw him in prison? What do you think we are, Holiday Inn? We will beat you. Well, what do you think those are on my back? Peppermint stripes? What are they going to do to the man? They're going to listen. Why? Because they got families too. I always start off talking to people about family on the airplanes. They love to talk about their families. How long have you been married? I'm in the airport and I see this woman. Well, she wasn't there, but her attaché case was sitting there by itself. And this was back in the 90s, before all the high security. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to have some fun. I went over and sat by it. And of course, when I am not preaching, I don't wear neckties. So I had on a t-shirt and a pair of sweats. And I looked the part that I wanted that attaché case. I went and sat by it, and I mean, she came flying out of nowhere like Superwoman and grabbed that thing, and she held it like it had $1 million in it. I leaned over, and I said, ma'am, I said, you in trouble. She said, excuse me? I said, when we go to get our seat selections, they're going to say, ma'am, has your luggage been in your possession the entire time? I said, you're going to have to lie, and I'm going to tell them you're lying. Oh, she tried to ignore me. And then finally they came over in and come, we're not open for boarding. And she walked up and I was right behind her. The lady said, ma'am, has your luggage been in your possession the entire time? I leaned over her shoulder. She didn't say nothing. She just sat there. They gave her a seat. I get on the plane. Guess who's sitting next to me? There is a God. She said, what do you do for a living? I said, I eat. You stop eating, you'll stop living. She said, no, like, you know, how do you make money? I said, the same way you do. God blesses me. Hasn't he blessed you? She said, I was so hard to talk to you. I said, well, say what you mean. Come on, I'm milking this. I'm not going to give her the answer she wants. And finally, I told her, I said, well, I'm an evangelist. She said, oh, what church are you with? I said, I'm with Jesus. I can't defend y'all. Amen? I don't go home with you. I can defend Jesus. I'm with Jesus. I don't ever give them no name, no church bell. I give them Jesus. And she said, well, what's some of the stuff you teach? I said, I teach that dating is sin. She said, I bet that's hard for you to get across. I said, no, man, pretty easy. I said, I always ask the young men, how many guys you won't suck in your daughter's face? Hello? Thank you. I know. I already know that one. Big fat zero. Then don't you suck none. Amen. And we're back there just having a good time. And there's a guy 5 seats up. He turns around and he said, you know, you're right. We go on, talk some more, tell a few verses. He turns around. He said, you know, you're right again. He said, can I come back there and sit with y'all? So we studied all the way down to Alabama somewhere. And I said, ma'am, is your husband picking you up? She said, yes, he is. I said, good. I said, I want to suck that rascal's face. She said, sir, please, we going down to Mobile. Any of y'all have been down there? It ain't mobile, it's Mobile. She said, sir, you don't understand. I said, ma'am, you don't understand. This is 240 pounds of pure chocolate and artificial flavors. She said, sir, my husband's white and his daddy's white and he don't kiss his own daddy. And we going to Mobile. I know what she's trying to tell me. I'm from the South. I said, sister, you don't understand. We got off that plane. You talk about moving. I mean, she's getting it. And of course, I'm. I know what she's trying to do. She's trying to get away from me. We get to the luggage. She grabs her luggage. Her husband, she tries to take off. I said, excuse me, sir. I mean, nobody knows if I'm undercover cop or not, amen? I said, excuse me, sir, did you just kiss her? Very seriously. And he's like, yes, I did. That's my wife. I said, well, I was just wondering because I want one of them too. Come on. He said, why not? I said, I told you, didn't I? If somebody's going to trap me on an airplane with 300 people, I'm going to have a good time. We're going to do some fellowshipping. And then I'm going to use this opportunity to further the gospel of Christ. Paul used his chains. He used his crisis and he used his critics. As he said, a lot of the brethren in the Lord are trying to preach. Some do it out of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Others do it out of spite, thinking to rise up afflictions for me and my flesh. He said, what then? What then? Pretense of truth, Christ is proclaimed, and I will rejoice. And that word is mentioned 15 times in this little letter. A prisoner telling Christians to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Philippians 4:4. Here's a prisoner telling Christians to rejoice. They should have been encouraging him. Well, Paul didn't believe he was in prison. Paul believed he was in Christ. Amen. Remember who you are. I'm getting on a plane one day and this stewardess came to me and she said, who are you? I said, a child of the King. She said, no. Who are you? I said, a child of the King. She said, no, Sugar Ray Leonard was on the last flight and I didn't recognize him. So anytime I see somebody look like they're famous, I know she means ugly. I want to find out who they are. I said, well, I'm a child of the King. It may not sound like a lot now, but you let Jesus show up. Amen? You let Jesus show up. It may not be a big thing right now, but if he shows up, that's going to be a big thing because he's coming to get his bride. Oh, no, the world out there may not be impressed, but we know. Don't forget who you are. You're a child of the King, and that means something. When you talk about this fellowship and our focus of furthering the gospel, what gets a person single-minded? When they learn to fellowship other saints, stronger than they are when they learn to look for opportunities to spread the gospel. If people are going to stare at me, I'm going to stare at them. I don't know why they're staring. They're going to want to know why I'm staring. My son likes to eat Subway before he plays. When he's in high school, so I'd run by the Subway shop to get him a sandwich. And anytime you make me stand in line, I'm going to punish you. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, from the heaven, praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. The guy that taught me, he said, you memorize the Bible and a songbook. So if you're ever in prison, you won't need a pitch pipe or a song leader. Amen. And so whenever I go to Walmart, wherever I go, and they make me stand in line, I'm starting. There's not a friend like the lowly. And Walmart ain't gonna tell me to leave, they want my money. Had a couple of grandmas run me over one day. I stopped and they ran into the back of me, rear-ended me with their shopping carts. They said, excuse us, sir, we're not stalking you, but that song you're singing, I'll Fly Away, that was one of my mama's songs, and we've been following you all over Walmart. You never know. We are fishermen. Those are my lures that I throw out there. And so I'm always singing. So I go in this little Subway, and there's only four people in there, and myself made five. So he got my order, and I'm just standing there. So I look at this guy, and he's only about 3 feet away. And he looks like he's talking to his son, his wife, and maybe a daughter-in-law. He finally looks up, and I said, and men always do the same thing. They always duck, like. And the wife always goes, where? So I walked over and I said, I caught you, sir. Very serious. I said, I caught you. He said, excuse me? I said, you're a chocoholic. I seen that twinkle. I saw it in your eye. Come here. And I walk over to him and I said, And his wife said that. I like that laugh. She said, oh, man. She said, how long have you known him? He said, I ain't never seen him before. She said, he kissed you. I said, it's called he ugly. And when you ugly, you can't complain about who sucks your face. I said, move over. And I booted, he moved over. We got to laughing and talking 45 minutes. They wasn't even from Texas. They were on their way back to Louisiana. What do you think they talk about for the next 3 hours? Never expected to get that in some way. Now, if those people stand before God, can they ever tell God I didn't try? I didn't make an effort? Do I have to know all the people that I'm sharing God's love with? Do I have to spend 1,000 hours with them before I can show them some of this love that we have and this kindness? How long did Paul know the Philippian jailer? Church is not about, everybody's talking friendship evangelism. Hey, I do stranger evangelism too. You don't know. Philip didn't know the eunuch in Acts 8. We're looking for, as Paul talked about, buy up every opportunity. Use every opportunity. Colossians 4:5, redeem the time. Church, that's what's helping us become single-minded. That's all I'm thinking about. I can't wait to get up in the morning. I didn't want to go to bed last night. I enjoy seeing this guy. It's been 40 years. But my wife always gets after me. Let them sleep. Don't keep them up. She knows I have night owl feathers. I'm ADD, ABCD, FG. I don't need sleep. I don't know why. My mom never made us go to bed. I'd stay up to 3 in the morning, and I can still do that and be ready to go. You know, I don't do a lot of blushing. Amen. I know today is going to be somebody's salvation day. And what a joy when I get to be a part of that. I don't know who they are, but I know they're out there. And so on the way here, them people couldn't wait to get me off that airplane. I'm talking to all of them. I'm throwing out my lures, blowing kisses. Any little window, Green Bay athletic hat, any window I see, I'm going to use it. Crisis, and begin working with people. And they all ask the same thing. What do you do for a living? I eat. You stop eating, you stop living. I'm not going to answer that question because then the conversation over. No, that's not what I mean. I know that's not what they mean. And then it continues. And then I just keep throwing them in. And people, after 2 years, people don't ask different questions. Same old, same old. You know how people are. How you doing? Fine. No, you're lying. And then how you doing? I said, delicious. Oh, I like that. I said, yeah, try some. Amen. I'm telling you, you ought to think about preaching. You know how many of these little guys, I mean, sitting up here would love to be that big and ugly? To whom much is given? Hello? That's what I told a little midget that converted me. And he was a midget like Tom Cruise. He's like, you ought to be a preacher. I said, uh-uh, man. He said, who made you that big and ugly? I said, the Lord. He said, okay, then use it for him. He said, there's a lot of people out there you can relate to. Amen. All right. Fellowship of the gospel. Furtherance of the gospel. Look at verse 27. Come on, preacher, read that for me. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your state, that you stand fast in one spirit, church, with one mind, striving together. Watch this. There it is. For the faith of the gospel. When we're striving to be of one spirit and of one mind, that's the faith of the gospel. You got the fellowship of the gospel. You got the furtherance of the gospel. You got the faith of the gospel. I mean, this guy is filling this little letter. He is saturating it with the gospel. Wow. How do you do that? In this fellowship, you're going to start being single-minded. That's how we get there. Fellowship, furtherance, and faith. And you can be single-minded about the Lord. Paul is telling us how he got there. I'm following that pattern, and it's taking me the same place. Any critics? People are like, I don't like your preaching. All right, get up there and let's see how you do. Amen. Well, you know this elder. Okay, then you raise your level of holiness, and then you get to be an elder. Amen. Yeah, I mean, you got some ideas? Put them in the kingdom. Use them. I mean, Paul and Peter didn't always get along, but they kept working. John, Mark, and Paul didn't get along, but they end up getting along. After the split, both of them grew. Barnabas. That we're supposed to grow, not apart, but closer together, because we're going to keep fellowship. There ain't nothing you guys can tell me to make me quit this fellowship. There ain't a name you can call me that my eight sisters ain't already called me. Amen? There ain't a pain you can give me that them other 10 siblings hadn't already given me. You can't introduce me to nothing new. Isn't that a beautiful that God does it in the family first, and then he tells us to practice it in the fellowship? I can't get offended. I'm a dead man. I died when I became a child of God, and I no longer allow those things to chase me away from this family. So whenever there's a fellowship, I'm going to be there. I like to eat, yes, of course, but I also like to, yeah, give out my tattoos. Because I know if I fellowship people, we're going to get close. I like your haircut. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to try them cheeks. You got to think about that, don't you? I asked all these young guys. I said, you a Mufasa or Simba? I'm a Mufasa. Put one on me. No, I'm a Simba. I mean, right away. I mean, don't you kiss your pops? Been a while. Well, work on me and I'll get you ready for him. One guy told me, he's like, man, you kissed me more than my daddy ever had. I said, well, I'm getting you ready for him. I plan to kiss Jesus when I see him. And the reason I know that is why I'm working on my brothers now. If I can kiss you, I ain't going to have no problem with Jesus. Because he said, as you've done it to the least of them, Matthew 25, you've done it unto me. Of course, y'all know what I'm talking about. You know I meet a lot of white guys, they never had no chocolate. Amen. And they make that threat, you ain't kissing me. Well, your choice is to get a kiss or to get a hickey. Now, I've given out three of those to three white guys up north who was determined, he ain't kissing me. I said, if you run, you get a hickey. If you stand still, you get a kiss. They ran. Now, I ain't as fast as I used to be, Grandpa. But I can give them a run for their money. I always give you a challenge. I give you a 5-yard lead. I don't care how far we run, you get a 5-yard lead. And if I catch you, you get to get a hickey. I ain't had no young guys to take me up on it. You guys want to take me up on that? What a fellowship, the song says. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Mom, all these many years that you have been faithful. What a legacy to leave your family that you've served. That you all are such an encouragement. Thank you all for not dying that pretty white stuff. Because it's got experience behind it. There's a 90-year-old I was telling Carlos about. He said, Brother Willie, he had been an elder. He said, I want to teach you how to play golf. I said, sir, I don't do golf. Watching paint dry and playing golf falls in the same category. I said, I'm not going to pay somebody for me to go lose a ball. He said, look, I'm going to teach you at 90 years old, and I'm going to beat you. And he did. I could hit it a mile that way. And that way, it just wouldn't go straight. A few years ago, he played the front nine with us at 95 years old. He didn't make the back nine. And he passed away a few weeks later. So I went to his funeral. And he said a couple of things I had not heard before. They said, Brother Bill had been married for 72 years. I had never heard anybody been married for 72 years. And what they said next, I just burst into tears. They said he wrote his wife a love letter every day for 72 years. I just burst into tears. That's not something you get off of television. That's not something you'll see in a movie. That's something he learned in this fellowship. This fellowship is like no other. It's called the kingdom of God. As John said, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of Christ, the body of Christ. That's who we are. Whatever is mine is yours. This is just material stuff that I'm here to use to minister to others so they can see Christ. I don't want to get in his way. Jesus made a statement, and I wrestled with it for a lot of years. He said to the Jews, all who came before me are thieves and robbers. I chewed on that for 2 years. I didn't realize he was talking about Abraham, Moses, Isaac. They were thieves and robbers because they were taking praise that belonged to God. Who were the Jews pointing at? No, we're disciples of Moses. We're children of Abraham. Jesus said they're thieves and robbers. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I don't want to take any praise, anything from God. Please don't tell me good sermon. I don't do sermons, especially good ones. I met a young boy at a back door in 1976, and he changed my life. Little white boy down in Alabama. Back in those days, I went back at the back door, and I had that shotgun Sam stance. You ain't getting out of here unless you say good sermon, preacher. And of course, everybody come back and lie just to get out. Little boy, 12-year-old, shook my hand, and he said, Brother Willie, I wasn't married in those days. It's 1976. There's still a lot of racial tension. He said, I wish you were my daddy. I lost it. My biggest fear to that point was growing up and being like my father. I didn't want to be like him. He was a drug addict up until his 80s and an alcoholic. And what rocked me is I didn't think any kid would have wanted me for a father. And that little boy said that, and it just broke my spirit. I didn't see what he saw in me. He saw something. He said a more realistic statement would be, I wish my father was like you. And I remember resolving in my mind, I may never be that kid's father, but because of what he says, I'm going to raise the bar so that if I was ever going to be that young boy's father, he would never be ashamed of me. I've never seen that kid since. Don't even know who he is. But what he said that night at that back door, it made me resolve, I'm raising the bar. This little guy saw something that I couldn't see as an adult. A 12-year-old saw it. And he was wishing that I was his daddy. I got to be different. I got to raise the bar. I got to submit more of myself to God. Those are the things that really hit me, is those comments these young ones make. Because I'm only in town at the most. I'm in town 4 days. I don't get to spend all this time with y'all. So I got to work fast. So let me tell some of you young guys what I'm doing. When I hug and kiss you, I'm not just hugging and kissing you. I'm finding out what your relationship is like with your daddy. Because I didn't have a good one. I can tell when I put a man in my arms what his relationship is like with his daddy, Brother Horn. Brother Longhorn. There we go. We there? You got a good one. All these senses in my skin, in my flesh, when I put my arms around him, I get good vibes. You've hugged him before. It's evident. I'm hugging for a reason, because I got to work fast. I'm not going to be here 2 weeks. I've got to know where your pains are. I got to know where you're bleeding. And I'll try to patch a few of those holes. And someone else you meet may patch a few of the others. That's what happens in this fellowship. We're constantly patching one another up, because none of us are completely well. We all struggle, but we patch each other up in this fellowship. And I leave more single-minded, wanting to serve. Fellowship does it, furtherance of the gospel does it, and the faith of the gospel, because we strive with one mind and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Let's finish with a prayer. Holy Father, we thank you so much for the saints that gather here at Oceanside. Thank you so much for the elders. Continue to pray for their life and their health and their relationship with you, that others will feed off of theirs, glean and find spiritual meat that they can grow from in their marriages, in their relationship with their children, in the life that they live in their community. Thank you for the ministers and the teachers and the song leaders that work here. Use us all, Father, to your glory, so that we will be a people who are resolved, that we will continue to press on, as Paul said, toward the prize, the mark of the high calling that's in Christ. And we're just so thankful for all that Jesus has done to help us to be single-minded, submissive-minded, spiritual-minded, secure-minded in you. Because, Father, we know no one loves us like you do. Help us to be resolved so that we can continue to raise up other men and women who are resolved to serve you, and we can have an impact on this world. It's through Christ we ask this prayer. And the church said, amen.
Amen.